Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Welcome to this episode. Are we prejudging our toddler? As parents of very young children, we tend to think of ourselves as all-knowing. And for the most part, that is true. But as you listen to this episode, I ask you to keep an open mind. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. Partnering me in this conversation is the delightful Rashi Sanghi from Hyderabad in India. Mother of a 21-month-old, Rashi peeled away the last layer of resistance in my starting a podcast. So thank you. So I just want to thank you for pushing me into doing this.
I didn't push you at all for anything. I think it's just in your mind and it's just time. The time is right for you to work on this. And that's why it's just come out. Yeah.
So let's see. Time will tell.
We'll leave it up to time.
Yes. Yes.
But I just thought that
it was a really very good idea. Yeah. That's a very, very
Think what's really powerful is that it's rooted in the real life experiences of all of you.
Yes. I'm so excited about it.
There are a number of specific techniques that we use in auditory verbal therapy to instill the habit of listening and talking in our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. We refer to these techniques as auditory verbal techniques or AV techniques. Sabotage is one of them. where we deliberately scuttle a situation to provoke the child to do something or say something in accordance with a planned goal or target. Hopefully, this will help you follow our discussion in this episode better when you hear us refer to the AV technique, sabotage. Modeling is another really useful auditory verbal technique where we present our deaf or hard of hearing child with the complete language pattern, whether it's a question, a statement, the use of a vocabulary word or a concept, we present it in its entirety, offering our child the opportunity to listen and imitate. I trust this will help you as you listen in to the conversation. As parents, caregivers, or professionals, including teachers, do we have preconceived notions about what our toddler can or will understand? Let's just jump right into this conversation and find out.
So we were talking about how to
expand or explain what it is that we are discovering through books.
My hesitation over here is that with any other adult, I'll be able to talk much more frankly and freely because I am understanding the level of their intelligence and how much they can understand. But with Ira, I'm not able, if I give her too much, it will be a bombardment of things. And I'm not sure how much to restrict on things.
It always comes back to that seed of doubt. Is she hearing? Does she understand? And it's not just you, it's me. It's as a professional. Even when I'm talking to you, really, should I be discussing this? Is she going to be able to understand it?
How much the brain is ready to take at what stages of life?
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is her brain ready? Mm. What have I done to get her brain ready?
Mm. Exactly. Yeah.
And how will I know whether anyone's brain is ready? Yeah, developmentally, we might know that something is more appropriate to discuss at this age or less appropriate to discuss at this age. But ultimately, we have to leave it to the child to make of it what she will.
Yes, yes.
Your rationale is that the reason you don't do that with your daughter is because?
Because I'm not able to understand how much. Is like, if I do too much, it will be a bombardment of information and she will be just lost in the conversation and she will try to quit.
What makes you think that I'm even interested? Did you consider that? No. So you didn't prejudge. You didn't prejudge me. You just stopped.
Yes.
Right? That's what we need to do with our children. We don't prejudge them. We offer them a banquet in terms of richness of experience, richness of language, abundance of experience. So I would say we need abundance, we need variety, and we need richness. And so Rashi did follow through. She brought in the variety and the abundance.
She is using two words together. For example, like, you know, come here, sit down.
Nice.
And all those things she's able to do, say all the time and not in just like, you know, sometimes, but most of the times.
Lovely.
She's
lovely.
Been using that. Or for like water, she knows water, she's saying water, but also the action, like she's saying drink also.
Oh, lovely. Like for example?
Yeah. Like for example, we were just roaming around after her park visit and she saw a cat and she had a water bottle in her hand. And she just extended the water bottle to the cat and she said, drink.
How sweet.
So
very sweet.
Yeah. Yes. And
what did you say when she did something like that?
So I think it was long back, but I said, yes, the cat is thirsty. The cat wants to drink water. Please give something like that, I said.
And if I had done that, what would you have said?
Yes. I would have said, oh, you're offering water to the cat. How nice.
So you would have appreciated me or yes. You would have appreciated my gesture.
Yes.
Right? So it's the same thing we do with our children. We appreciate them. So maybe how could we have done that, for example? Oh, that's so sweet or that's such a kind thing to have done. Yes, look, I think the cat is thirsty.
So, you know, words like kind or sweet or thoughtful, yes, or considerate, loving, yeah, that kind of language, the language of emotion and appreciation, comes into their vocabulary very spontaneously.
She had a bottle of water in her hand and she just wanted to give it to the cat. And
why? Because there was a sufficiency of those kinds of gentle, loving, compassionate, fun experience that she could then transfer. Get what I'm saying? So when, even in our follow-up, when we do the follow-up very diligently, but it's just a one-off thing. And then we turn around and say to, oh, we did it. And she hasn't got it. Yes, she hasn't got it. No child would have got it, because there has to be sufficiency. There has to be generalization. That means we have to do it in different ways so that she can then generalize like she did with the cat whom she, it had never happened before. But there has to be sufficiency, yes, of that experience.
One more thing that she did, like, you know, one of the Sundays, she woke up like quite early at around like 7 o'clock. And so she said, Mama, Papa sleeping. And then she said, Mitali, and she did this gesture. Like at that time, she was not saying where. Now she's saying for where. So in my mind, I was very satisfied with the work that we had done, because she was able to comprehend such a beautiful sentence in a way.
And create her own sentence.
Yes.
See, so that comes back to the same thing, that when there is sufficiency of experience, the child is able to then has this foundation with which to create. And yes, when we create, there's always newness. So we will always apply it to new situations. We will use it in new ways. I'm sure after that, you also then started emphasizing the where. Where's Baba? Where's Papa? Because that was the word that was missing, which where she was gesturing. Right? She got the rest of it. Make that, yes, put that as a note to yourself. She was gesturing, but she made the, she said the rest of it perfectly. Mama, Papa sleeping. And then she gestured and for Mitali. So
yeah,
that is then a cue to us that, okay, she's got that much. She understands, yeah, where, because she's trying to express it. So it's definitely part of a receptive language. But it's not quite at the expressive language state where she's saying the word. So
as all the time, yeah.
Yeah, as a general rule, that is the pointer, that is what we need to work on. So we model it, okay? So it's like you're looking for your husband and you know exactly where he is. Just tell him to delay coming out and say, I need Papa to help me with this, I don't know, with laying the table log, you know, because Baba's calling him. But I can't see him. Papa, where are you? Where are you? Where's Papa? And Papa doesn't respond. That's sabotage. And you're calling out again. Where's Papa? Come help me. And then she comes along and both of you are going, where's Papa? Now you model that 3-4 times. She's going to feel very important that she's coming with you. So she's going to then model it as well. Right? And so in one shot, you get it, because it's so real and it's appealing to her sense of being so important and having found Papa. And when she does say it, Papa has to immediately pop out and say, you turn to her and say, see, I was calling Papa and he never came. And you said, where's Papa? And there he is. So you see that, you know, that sense of appreciation and the fact that when I use my voice, I'll get
rewarded.
Yeah, something exciting happens, or I get what I want, or something fun happens. Yes. I get to do something that I wouldn't otherwise have got to do if I had just kept quiet.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I feel, ma'am, that she's copying Where Are You? So we did that book Spot with her like so many times.
Yeah.
And for me to also use it, Where Is Spot? So I said that, you know, Spot, Where Are You? I used the words. So right now what she's doing, when I take out the book, she's saying Spot. And sometimes I feel that, you know, like when she's also hiding, like we play hide and seek games, sometimes she like loves hiding behind the doors and all those places behind the curtains. So I say, Ira, Ira, where are you?
Oh, sweet.
In the same way. So she's sometimes copying that, where are you? The three words together. in the same tone that I've been using with her in like a sing-song
that is
voice.
That is typical development. That's what children with normal hearing. How, what's her exact age now?
She's 21 months plus.
So children with normal hearing of this age do a cut paste. They tend to, where are you is what they've been hearing in the story. And therefore, everything is, where are you, where are you?
Yes.
Okay. Which is why, of course, we use the stories and the books for their power of repetition. Okay. Because that is getting those very simple sentences into the child's auditory memory in a really fun way through a story.
Yes.
But what we need to then add to that is the generalizing. Okay.
That this can be used elsewhere also.
In other situations, in other forms. So, for example, tell me something that's really precious to her. Like a toy or an object or something like that.
The bunny that she's carrying, her software bunny.
What does she call him? Or what do you refer to him as?
Bunny.
Bunny. Okay. So, maybe she's playing with bunny. Then, sorry, you were saying something?
No, I was just laughing because we don't keep names for her toys because it might get confusing for her. We just use Dolly or, you know, a Barbie. For a Barbie, we use Barbie only so that we don't want to confuse her right now with names.
But that's part of the experience, right? That's the richness. That's exactly what I'm saying. That is the richness we need to bring into our life. And let's not prejudge. Let's not judge our child that she's not going to understand. If this is a bunny whom she really loves, right? Then like your name is Ira, this rabbit has a name and maybe you can call it Poppity or I don't know what it is. And then, you know, children may not be able to say the full name, but they say a version of it. Maybe they say Poppy and that becomes just very cute and his name then becomes Poppy. But let's not prejudge and say this is what she's not going to understand. My guidance to you would be let's lay it all out without overwhelming. Okay. Let's lay it out. And let the child show us what she wants to pick and choose and the time in which she wants to use it. And so this, suppose she's playing with her bunny. Okay. And then it's time for lunch. Right. Now, maybe we can sabotage and say, do you want to take bunny to lunch? And she'll probably say yes. Says, okay, you go wash your hands and I'll bring bunny to the table. All right. Now, she goes to wash her hands and you deliberately, because we're using sabotage as a Navy technique, you deliberately don't bring the rabbit to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Then when she starts looking, you act very dumb. Again, you continue with the sabotage and say, what's the matter? What are you looking for? Then she says, bunny, and she gestures, okay? Then... Or she says, where are you, bunny? Which is also fine. You could say, oh my God, I forgot. I need to bring bunny. But where did I leave bunny? Where's bunny? Let me think. Where's bunny? Oh dear, where's bunny? You see, three immediate repetition of the new form.
Where is bunny? Yeah.
Of the new form in a situation where she really wants that rabbit. So there is a very strong motivation within her to want to talk, to want to imitate, and therefore to want to learn. So we have to... My guidance to you would be that when something is happening, just divide your brain into two parts. One part of it is very much aware of what's happening, you're engaging with her, and you know, all that good stuff is going on. But there is another part of you that is analyzing what is happening. And how you can use it or take it forward or use it to fill a gap somewhere or apply it in a different situation. And you're able to incorporate it on the spur of the moment.
2 weeks later, we found ourselves revisiting this same topic.
When we were coming from the aeroplane and we were in the cab and she was with me and she saw a seat belt over there in the front seat. And she was just playing around. And after some time, she's touching the seatbelt like this. And she's saying, long, long, long. I was like, I've not taught her in the relation to anything like that. I think I've said it in relation to the long neck of the giraffe. And also a thread, like, you know, using a long thread. as your hair. And she just related that to the belt, and she was doing it for like so long and saying long, long, long.
So that's brilliant. But that's brilliant. But I want you to pause and reflect on how come that happened.
I was thinking about it, ma'am, for so long that, you know, how she could just relate something which I've not really taught her that, you know, this thing is also long.
That is the plasticity of the brain, which the younger you are, the more absorbent the brain is. But it is based on the fact that you have done the preparation. You've done the prep work in generalizing with the strings that she plays with the giraffe. So you've done that. And she is clever enough and absorbent enough in terms of her neural capacity because of her age. She's not even two. That she's able to apply.
Yeah.
And so that should actually really motivate us to go on generalizing as much as we can.
Even I was like, after that time, I was just pointing out random things to her. Like, you know, the spots on the giraffe's neck and everything. Like, you know, short tail and big ears of the elephant. Like, every random thing. Because I don't know at what point she will catch what. It's really...
Exactly. So that's coming back to the point we had discussed earlier that let's not judge.
Yeah, they are capable of so much more, ma'am. I mean, I don't know.
Let them show us what they are ready to absorb.
Yes.
And based on what they are ready to absorb and how much they are willing to absorb, then we steer the conversation or our discussion or the whatever, the observation that we're wanting them to see and then to supply the language based on their reaction. But let's not prejudge. I mean, like using the airport example, I would have said, oh my God, thank God we're off the plane. Look at those people. There's such a long queue. It's so long. And I've deliberately used the word queue because that is a queue.
A new word, yeah.
Yes, we could simplify it and say it's a long line. But in that context, how does line become easier to understand than queue? It's just a kind of figment of imagination. It's a new word. It's a new word. So why not use the terminology? That's exactly what we
do. New for her, yeah.
Both what?
Both the words are new for her. Line.
Exactly. So let's learn it. Let's learn it in a full-fledged fashion right from the start. Why are we putting our children on a diet? You can only eat this, but not that. What? Offer them a feast. And so the conversations continue. Thank you so much for your time and interest and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with as you engage with your baby or toddler or young child to resist the temptation of prejudging what your child can or cannot understand. Instead, let's immerse them in a language environment of abundance, variety, and richness. And let them decide what they are ready to absorb, when they are ready to absorb it, and when they wish to communicate or respond. And I am so excited to share that coming up next on this podcast is an exclusive conversation that I have with my mentor, Warren Estabrooks. Make sure you don't miss that. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Chef Ali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me, via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.